Nothing burns more fat and nothing puts on more muscle than sprinting.
Dr. Sean O'Mara,
he's the best-selling author of Growing Better, Not Older.
He can help anyone lose fat and change their life.
This is me, 55, age 59. Look at the muscle work from barely working out. This guy's filled with visceral fat, all that white stuff inside of him. He's a CEO of a company. He cut out carbohydrates and he still had all this visceral fat. And we said, are you running? And he said, yeah, I'm still running. I'm like, stop it. It was less than 2 months and he gets a six pack just by sprinting. So how do you do it, to your question? All right, first answer is nothing kills more people than chronic disease. It's all preventable if you just get rid of this stuff. Heart attacks, strokes, colon cancer, prostate cancer, any cancer. It starts when you're a kid with waffles, pancakes, syrup, pizza, spaghetti. If you want to have an idea how much visceral fat you have, you can take a look at whether you've got love handles. You don't want any. You want to push back there and just feel skin and bone. So the more you have, the more visceral fat you have. And the more visceral fat you have, the more inflammation.
Let's talk about one of the biggest lifestyle factors that we can change is diet. What people should be eating to lower their belly fat?
So the first thing you got to do is stop eating.
Dr. O'Mara, if somebody has just clicked on this video and they're thinking about giving it a watch, why should they listen to you about belly fat? And how is it going to change their life forever?
Nothing improves a human being more than getting rid of visceral fat. And I'm a 60-year-old who's been practicing as a physician for about 3 decades now. So my specialty is health and performance optimization. And who in the world would be better at determining what really improves people than a physician who specializes in that? And I got about 10 years of experience, almost, well, really 13 years of experience working with people to improve their health and their performance. So visceral fat, belly fat, is critically important. It's probably going to be the single one of the top, if not the top, most important thing that you're going to learn in your lifetime.
So if somebody's thinking about belly fat, what encompasses belly fat? What does belly fat mean?
Yeah. So first, there's a little bit of confusion about what is belly fat, because most people's idea of belly fat is when they grab their fat in their abdomen like this. But that's really not the fat that is as detrimental and harmful that we're going to be talking about today, which is visceral fat. And visceral fat means around, it's fat around the viscera or your organs. So really, it's fat deep in your abdomen. And in fact, it's invisible. Unless you get an MRI or a CT scan, you cannot see deep belly fat or visceral fat. So maybe what we should do right at the outset, I like to show people in the audience where visceral fat is and what it looks like. In many cases, it's their first chance, experiencing it. So we're going to do a scan. I'm going to show an MRI through a human being in what's called the transverse or axial plane. So it's basically a slice, you know, through your abdomen like this. And it creates this image. It's kind of like a pizza. It's a image unaltered. And on an MRI, fat shows up as white. And muscle and organs show up as dark, and so does bone. But what we're going to get into is not all fat is the same in the human body, even though you might think it is, and all your life you've thought it is. But let me set it up this way. The difference between the different types of fat is like bricks and clouds. One improves you and protects you from disease. The other one causes disease. I mean, they're completely opposite. And so stay with us in this show so you can learn about those things, and you won't have to play a pen. There's going to be no links to go watch this and go do that. Everything you can do is free. So this is why I'm excited to be here and share this with you. So where is visceral fat? It's this white stuff in your abdomen. The white stuff on the outside in the periphery is the pinch, the incha type of fat, you know, what you grab hold of in your belly, that kind of fat. That is called subcutaneous fat. Sub just below, cutaneous, the skin. So we painted in this image up here yellow, and visceral fat we paint up here in red. But these are the muscles. They're called the obliques. This is your six pack. If you ever wanted to see what your six, know what your six pack look like in an MRI scan, that's it. And these are the psoas muscles that makes up your core. If you do a core workout, surrounding your vertebral body, which is your spinal column, your bones in your back. And these are your muscles in your back called your erectate spinae muscles. And those are really important because they keep your spine erect. So if you're somebody who looks at old people who walk around like this, and you know, little old ladies will look up, "Hi, sweetie, how are you? And how are you doing today? Good to see you." And you don't want to look like that, then you don't want these muscles to fall apart. And what causes them to fall apart? What we're going to be talking about today, this deep belly fat, visceral fat, because it causes visceral fat to be deposited into your musculature, and then your muscles don't work good. And it's not just you get a crooked spine. You can't really use your muscles, even to the point that you cannot get out of a chair without help. And eventually you can't get out of a chair and you're stuck in a bed and wearing diapers. So nobody wants to end up like that, but so many people do, because they don't pay attention to what's happening inside the body. So the most important thing you need to pay attention to when it comes to your health is your visceral fat. Because if you can eliminate that, you can eliminate chronic disease. Now, how do I know this? Well, because I've studied it. I'm an MD, I'm a physician researcher. And my funding for that study came from the National Science Foundation, where they provided us $1.2 million to research the reversal of chronic disease. And if we're going to research the reversal of chronic disease, we needed metrics, targets to go after, to figure out what is important, what's relevant to reverse chronic disease. And what we settled on is the single most valuable, important target to look at is this deep belly fat. Now, if you kind of heard about deep belly fat, it's sort of out there and it's grown in popularity. But I'll tell you where you didn't hear from: your doctor. And the reason is because we're not trained in medical school on this type of fat. So I learned about this about 15 years after being an MD from another physician who figured it out on his own by doing MRIs of the back. He kept seeing, studying all the disease in the back. He noticed the ones that had the worst backs were the ones that had the most white stuff around those stacks. And then, and he goes, "There's something to this." And he started studying, you know, how he could get people's backs better by getting rid of this white stuff. Then we found out that, you know, through our research, that it's associated with everything. And in 6,000 human beings that we studied for the National Science Foundation, we followed their visceral fat and their chronic disease, self-reported what disease they had. And in many cases, it was also observable on these MRIs. But a lot of disease you don't necessarily see in the abdomen, maybe like joints and other areas, skin, eczema, psoriasis, bursitis, whatever, headaches, migraines. 6,000 people, all the chronic disease that they had either got substantially better or went completely away with eliminating visceral fat. So if you have chronic disease, no matter what you have, no matter what it is, you're listening, I want you to go to Google, type in your disease, whatever ails you, whatever your problem is, comma, visceral fat. And let's see what science says about it. Read articles, read studies, how it's coming from visceral fat. And they go, huh? wonder why no one told me about that. Why didn't my doctor tell me about it? It's because your doctor doesn't know. Why doesn't your doctor know? Well, now here comes, I spoke with confidence about everything else because I have direct knowledge of that. Here's where I'm speculating now. I think your doctor doesn't know because Big Pharma has prevented your doctor from knowing because they influence what your doctor is taught. Doctors are taught curriculum in medical schools that are controlled and influenced, I think, by Big Pharma. I don't know exactly behind it. If you are a member of Congress, you are a member of some governing body, I would like you to investigate who sets the curriculum in medical schools. Where is that being established? Because they're influencing a country's policies on disease and health. And I suspect because of the magnitude of chronic disease that it's tolerated because it's exploited by certain small elements that make a lot of money. How much? Well, let's just set this up. Chronic disease is humanity's biggest problem. Biggest problem. Have you ever once thought what is humanity's biggest problem? Let me say, explain to you why it is. Because nothing interferes with human productivity more, in other words, how productive and how good we are, than chronic disease. Nothing decreases the performance and productivity of employees more than chronic disease. Nothing causes more sick calls than chronic disease. Nothing costs us more money than chronic disease. Not oil, not energy, not food, not the internet, not Amazon. It's chronic disease. And nothing interferes and impedes, ruins the quality of lives of humans more than chronic disease. And if that isn't all enough, nothing kills more people than chronic disease. And the sad thing is, it's all preventable if you just get rid of this stuff. If it was only taught to doctors. But there's a lot of money to be made in this chronic disease, and that's why it's not. Imagine if you went to a doctor, and instead of over 30, 40, 50 years of getting more medicine and getting worse, you actually got better. But you can't if you just get rid of visceral fat. Now I sound like I might say, click on this link and buy this snow. Nope, we're not gonna sell you anything. Today we're giving this knowledge away just to improve for the sake of humanity your life. So chronic disease comes from visceral fat, and that's why visceral fat is the single most important thing you need to be doing right now to get to eliminate, to improve the quality of your life and to increase your performance and across the board, whatever you do, improve your appearance and just enjoy life better.
How does somebody know if their disease is going to lead them to have more visceral fat? Can you list what are these chronic diseases?
Yeah. So almost any chronic, you can just go on Google chronic disease and you'll see its association or causality from visceral fat. So any you want around? Heart attacks, strokes, colon cancer, rectal cancer, prostate cancer, any cancer, bursitis, tendonitis, rheumatoid arthritis, obesity, type 1 diabetes, type 2 diabetes. On and on and on and on. So, yeah, every form of chronic disease in 6,000 people, can you imagine how many there were, got better or went away? Not one exception did we find. The kind of a new one that wasn't in the 6,000, people that we studied was MS. And since then, I've had two individuals come to me with MS. Both of them today are completely symptom-free of their MS. One of them's lesions on their MRIs are reversing. And the other one's gone, completely reversed.
That's incredible. And it's interesting that this protocol, which we're going to talk about, which is this thing, magical thing that I know that Dr. Omara talks about, the exercise part, the diet part, all the fun stuff, it's free. You can just go outside, do it at home, anything. But we're going to talk about that. Before we get into that, I really want to know, it looks like you've got MRI scans there. So in terms of diagnosis, how do we know if we have this visceral fat, this dangerous belly fat? What are the steps that somebody could diagnose themselves?
Yeah. So you can go to your primary care physician, whoever your physician is, and join them, exhort them, beg them, plead with them to get an MRI. They'll be uncomfortable with it because they don't read visceral fat. They'll be confused with it. No, but no physician likes to order a test that they don't understand. So how do you get around that problem? Because that is going to be a obstacle. So you tell that physician, him or her, that you're going to pay for it yourself. In other words, excuse me, Miss Doctor or Mr. Doctor, insurance isn't paying for this. I'm paying for this. Nobody should say no to me. I want to get healthy. If you're saying no to me, you tell me why you're keeping me from getting healthy. If what reasonable objection would you have if I'm paying for this? So if you got a doctor, after you explain that to them and they want to order it, time for a new doctor. Go get another doctor that is interested in your health, not somebody that is uncomfortable because you're ordering a study that they've never been trained on. And be kind to them. I understand they don't know anything about it because they weren't trained on it. And here's the presumption by most physicians, I'd say all physicians. If something, a patient, and you probably had this, patient brings something to a physician that they didn't learn in medical school, the presumption is it's not important, unless it's a brand new discovery. So they're going to automatically assume that visceral fat isn't important. But assuming that you can get them to order it, the next obstacle you have is who in the world is going to read it? Because if no doctors are trained in medical school, what physicians are trained in it to read? And the answer is nobody. We had to learn ourselves in our research practice how to read visceral fat. But I'm going to tell you, because you're here, okay? So the real quick way to read visceral fat is when it comes to an abdominal scan, you want to be mostly dark and not a lot of white. So this scan in the top, mostly dark, they're oval shaped. And if you're listening today, if you remember when you were 16, 17, 15, 18 years of age, you had a nice abdomen and it was kind of oval shaped. And then as you aged, the oval shape went away and your abdomen started to pooge out. Why? Because you started getting this white stuff in here that's invisible, that nobody told you about, that you have to target and specifically get rid of. So real quick, you want to be mostly dark, mostly muscle inside. This guy's massive muscle. He's a colleague of mine, a friend named Gabe in the Army National Guard with me here in the United States, in Minnesota. And this guy here is mostly white inside with a bulging abdomen. So that's a real quick, fast way of reading your own MRI scan because your doctor isn't going to be able to read it. And by the way, I'm on YouTube. I have a lot of videos on YouTube where I go over MRIs, good and bad. And so if you're watching this and already intrigued, yeah, I'm going to do this. I hope you are. Then you go to my YouTube, again, completely free. No links to buy this from Dr. Sean. I don't sell anything. Some people, I do sell my brain. So people that all over the world that want to come and work on visceral fat, they can come to me. But all the stuff, all my recommendations, no money. All free. You just go out and get it yourself.
I just want to thank the sponsor of this video, Element. Now, especially if you've just started a keto or a carnivore lifestyle, you might find it a little bit tricky, especially if you're moving from eating carbohydrates to not eating carbohydrates. And I know for me personally, when I started carnivore, that's exactly what happened to me. I had side effects like fatigue, headache, I couldn't sleep at night, and this happened for months. And it was only until I added in a supplement. And what I added was Element, because Element contains the right amount of sodium, potassium, and magnesium. And that is so important, especially if you want to feel good transitioning to a zero carb diet. And for me personally, I use this raw, unflavored option because I don't really like sweeteners. I don't tolerate them that well. So that's what I choose. But you can choose so many different flavors. And the best thing about Element, it doesn't have any nasties. There's no toxic ingredients, preservatives, or sugars, so you can really trust what you're getting is going to help you along your journey. And right now, Element is offering this free sample pack on every order. So you're going to get 8 single servings of Element to try for free. So if you want this, all you have to do is go to drinkelement.com/5-minute body. That's drinkelement.com/5-minute body to get this free sample pack on every order. Let's just get back to the episode. I understand that you also said having 6-pack abs is not very healthy for you. Why is that?
Yeah. So we'll explain that. And this is probably a good place to explain it here. See this subcutaneous fat here. Actually, it's made up of 2 types of fat. So not all subcutaneous fat is the same, just like not all fat is the same. Now, one part of this is really bad, and one part is really good. And so you want to get this right. You want to pay attention. So the 2 names for this 2 different types of fat is, one is deep subcutaneous fat, and the other one is superficial subcutaneous fat. And where they are makes a difference in terms of their characteristics and why they're different. And how different are they? Bricks and clouds different. Bricks and clouds, completely different. It's so different that in this white area here, a membrane exists to separate the two. And you can see it. You see that black line going around there? That membrane separates the bad stuff from the good stuff. The bad stuff, deep subcutaneous fat, just like visceral fat. The more visceral fat you have, the more deep subcutaneous fat you have. And the more disease and the poorer your quality of life. The opposite with this stuff here. Right here is superficial and this is the deep, okay? The superficial actually protects you from disease. And maybe some of you have even heard that, you know, a certain amount of fat has some protection. Well, it's a specific type of fat, superficial subcutaneous fat. So that's why you don't want to have 6-pack abs, because you're eliminating this thin layer of fat that is protective. And why is it protective? Because while this stuff, visceral fat, and this stuff, deep subcutaneous fat, secretes inflammatory substances, molecules, chemokines, adipokines, cytokines, interleukin-6, tumor necrosis factor, all of these molecules that cause inflammation and disease, chronic disease all over your body, you can think of as a furnace spewing out this disease 24 hours a day, every day of your life. That is what causes the problem. This fat here is also secreting something that is good and beneficial and protective. So we even know what that molecule is. It's called adiponectin, A-D-I-P-O-N-E-C-T-I-N, just like it sounds. Google it, read about it, because guess who else is not going to tell you about it? Your physician. So you need to read about adiponectin and get its benefits. So if you were a bodybuilder and you're working to get yourself these great big muscles and your 6-pack abs, that's for competition. That's for a certain look, but that's not for health. You might think you're doing a healthy thing because you're way better. You know, you imagine yourself as way healthier than other people. But then why do bodybuilders fall apart? And they end up having heart attacks and strokes. And it's large part because they're accumulating this stuff inside and they're eliminating this stuff right here. So what you want to do is be more like the Tarzan build. Now, Tarzan, when I was a little kid, I'm 60 years old. When I was a little kid, 12, you know, years old, the guy's name was Johnny Weissmuller. And if you look back at the original Tarzan when it came out, I think it was in the 1960s, he had a thin layer. He did not have six packs. He had a thin layer of fat on. So let's look at Gabe up here. See that thin layer right there? That's your adiponectin secreting, you know, that tissue secreting the adiponectin, that thin layer of superficial subcutaneous fat. But what you don't want to have are, you know, this deep spacing here, and it's concentrated right in an area of your body called your love handles. So if you want to have an idea how much visceral fat you have, you can take a look at what you've got in love handles. So let's take a good look at an MRI. Maybe this would be a good time to pull up an MRI with love handles. So in this image here, this is the abdomen. See that belly button right up there? So this is your anterior abdomen. This is your back laying on your back. Back muscles filled with all that inflammatory muscle. You think this person's got good posture? And how about if that continues on? They're going to be so hunched over. So look at this person's love handles. Now, check this out. The more visceral fat you have, the deeper your subcutaneous fat. That deep subcutaneous fat is massive. And look how thin their superficial subcutaneous fat is. It's barely there. So this is like a poor person's MRI. It becomes a proxy for figuring out how much visceral fat you have if you got love handles. You don't want any. You want to push back there and just feel skin and bone. So, but it may be just a tiny bit of superficial subcutaneous fat, that layer. But this is a lot. So the more you have, the more visceral fat you have. And the more visceral fat you have, the more inflammation. But an important point needs to be made about visceral fat and deep subcutaneous fat. If we were to do a surgical procedure on this person here, remove their visceral fat, remove their deep subcutaneous fat, you think all the disease is going to go? No. What? Nope. You won't get more progression, but it's the molecules that get secreted by this over decades that's the problem. So eliminating it is not going to fix the problem I already have. So this stuff causes it, but a lot of people think it's just like, you know, like kryptonite around Superman, you know, bringing in and Superman's really weak and then you take it away and he stands up tall. No. So what you have to do is first get rid of it and then your body will slowly heal. But the point is, if you get a scan and you're filled with this visceral fat and you don't have any problems, you know why? Because you just got it recently. It hasn't been around for you. But for many people, it starts when you're a kid with waffles, pancakes, syrup, pizza, spaghetti, and over a period of time, sedentary behavior, not exercising correctly, being stressed out, alcohol, poor sleep, accumulates over a period of time, and more critically, it causes this inflammation throughout your body. So the reverse is also true. Let's say you got no visceral fat, and we open you up, and we dump a bunch of visceral fat in you. You probably got 5-10 years of pretty good living, even with this big belly full of fat, because that inflammation slowly gets out and causes this chronic disease. But for most people listening today, they've got a few decades of visceral fat inside of them. If they've been eating carbohydrates and processed foods and drinking alcohol, it's that a combination, trickle of that inflammation from that visceral fat, accumulating over a period of time that causes that problem. So I make that distinction because I don't want anybody to get a scan and say, well, I got nothing wrong with me and I got all this visceral fat. It's because that means you just recently accumulated. Why? Could be stress, you know, you get a stressful thing, you get a sick kid, you're stressed out, you get fired from your job, your company's, you know, going down, you're losing your business, whatever, you start accumulating visceral fat, or, you know, you just suddenly go crazy on strawberry shortcake, you know, and you just go off on the deep end eating pizza and donuts or whatever, and you've been thin your whole life, and now suddenly you've gained all that weight. So, but most people, it looks like a slow progression of visceral fat being deposited within you. And when does it get started? Well, we scan people for the National Science Foundation as young as 4 years of age and could identify visceral fat inside of them. And consistently for the four-year-old and the 90-year-old, the amount of visceral fat correlated to their lifestyle, what they ate, a lot of processed foods, carbohydrates, sweet things, bread, pasta, rice, muffins, cookies, candies, cakes, pizza, tortillas, those things cause visceral fat. What doesn't? A diet eating meat. And we also saw if you ate vegetables, you had low visceral fat, but the amount of visceral fat being eliminated was accelerated when the vegetables were stopped and the individual just ate meat. Now, hold on. If you're vegan, you're a vegetarian, and whole food, plant-based, do not get ticked off at me. Don't turn me off. You can still lose that visceral fat. You can. I have vegans that are working with me, and whole food, plant-based people that eat whole food, plant-based, and they're losing that visceral fat. Now, not as fast as somebody on the carnivore diet, but they're losing it by eliminating processed foods. So they're just eating vegetables, no bread, no pasta, not eating rice, not eating tortillas. They're just eating vegetables in whole form. And that is allowing to eliminate that visceral fat. So no political agenda here. My agenda is health optimization. I'm just sharing what I have observed anecdotally in the 7 years of studying for the National Science Foundation, the elimination of chronic disease. So if you're vegan, I'd love to work with you. If you're listening, vegetarian, I'd love to help you focus in on that area. And this applies to vegans, carnivores, paleo, keto. You need to see underneath the hood what's going on in your engine of your car. What is the condition? And you just can't tell from the outside unless you're, now I shared that one outside sign. And another one I'll share with you is spider veins, telangiectasias. So what we saw as this visceral fat is eliminated, the arteries actually improve. And I'll show you an interesting scan of that, this image here, where this individual came in as bad blood flow in their middle cerebral artery of their brain arteries, and a big occlusion right here. And in 9 months, that artery was opened up, and that artery was opened up when they eliminated their visceral fat. But it gets eliminated pretty fast. So look at, this one's brand new. It has never even come out on a podcast, Rena. You're the first one to see this. Actually, first podcast to get this. So this is a big, same artery, okay? Atherosclerotic cardiovascular plaque in the middle cerebral artery, big blockage there. And then look how it's restored and opened up. But it wasn't 9 months. I mean, can you imagine that? What is that artery? It's the number one artery that strokes. It's the most common site for an artery for a stroke patient. Does that catch your attention? This thing opened up 3 months. 3 months. No stenting, no drugs. It was lifestyle. Cutting out carbohydrates, sprinting, doing a cold showers, doing a hot sauna, going outside, getting sun, not wearing sunscreen, and not covering up and not being afraid of the sun that we've been around for millions of years, but getting it. So why is that sun good? Because it produces a wonderful molecule called nitric oxide. It won the Nobel Prize for Medicine in 1992. It's incredibly important, and it helps improve your cardiovascular health. So that's why it's one of the interventions that we try to have patients do to open up their arteries, get rid of visceral fat, is to get sunshine. You probably casually have observed that generally, not always the case, but generally people that have a nice tan tend to have a little bit less body fat. And people that tend to be really obese, kind of pale. And then if you go in nursing homes, those people are really pale, a lot of disease. They never get in the sun. So don't be afraid of the sun. I'm just going to tell my dermatology, my beloved dermatology colleagues, you're wrong about the sun, okay? Get people healthy. They can enjoy the sun, tolerate the sun, exploit the sun, benefit from the sun. But keep them in their house using sunscreen, eating processed foods, and giving them medications and sunscreen is going to destroy their health. And they're just not going to benefit from it. So these arteries open up as you get rid of visceral fat. And so one form, you can't scan yourself at home, but I brought this up to pay attention to another thing that you can track on your skin, spider veins. Okay, so these spider veins, in case you don't know what they look like, I'll give you an image, a photograph. Here, sometimes they can be seen in your eyelid, okay? Because it's thin skin, it's their capillaries, and they turn purple. And the reason they turn purple is the blood is backing up in those capillaries. That doesn't sound good, backing up blood. You want your blood to be going like this, like a water pump and a radiator and a car engine running nice and smooth. An old car that hasn't been well maintained, the water not so good, and hoses are clogged. And it's kind of an example of humans that get a lot of visceral fat. Their arteries get clogged and everything starts falling apart. So if you got these spider veins on your eyelids, another common site for them on your ankles, women get a lot of them on their legs. And men, you get it on your penis. So women hate it. They run around vein clinics all over America trying to get rid of their spider veins because of a concept called imprinting. In their brain, when they look at that, you could paint blue lines on them and it won't bother them. But if they see those veins, that's their biology saying, really bad, and I want to get rid of those. And so they go and get them stripped. They get them injected, all sorts of crazy stuff. You want them there. They help your skin. They're part of your body. Are you crazy? You are, because you're listening to doctors who are making money off procedures that are destroying your supply of blood. How about this one? Get rid of your visceral fat and they open up. They go away. And then you got better blood flow to your skin, to your face, and you look a lot better. So getting rid of visceral fat will improve your blood flow. And if you're a male, and I'm just saying, I'm a doctor, so we have to do these hernia checks. Somebody has to do them. And so I've seen a lot of skin on penises over my lifetime. Young guys, like pure skin, real nice and tan. Then when you get to be 60, let's be honest, if you're 50, 60 years old, it looks like a purple sausage. You got so much of these spider veins all over it. But guess what reverses in our subjects in the study? Those spider veins on the skin, and then guess what else happens? Erectile dysfunction slowly improves. And here's another fascinating concept. Your blood flow, if you're a male, improves so much, you not only get an erection, but it does this. It starts bouncing again like it used to, guys, when you were 16 years old. They didn't teach me that in medical school. I learned that about 55 after I got rid of my visceral fat and my ED, my erectile dysfunction, went away. I got that slowly. And then I noticed this happening. I'm like, I've never seen that before. And I'm looking, I'm like, oh, yes, I have. Because I remembered it decades before when I was a teenager. So get rid of your visceral fat. You won't need your blue pills anymore. You'll have a great erection, great blood flow, and visible pulses all over your body. Now that sounds kind of male dumb. We're talking erectile dysfunction. Same thing, cardiovascular improvement in women. Exact same thing. Only you get it. I haven't studied it within the clitoris, but you will get better blood flow in your clitoris. Your sex life will improve if you're a woman. Your brain will improve. Your kidneys will improve. Your liver will improve as you get that better blood flow from eliminating that visceral fat.
Let's talk about the fix, because you mentioned some exciting different things that we could do: sprinting, diet, sauna, all the rest of it. I want to go into each one into detail because we need to know about this stuff. Let's start with sprinting. How do we do it? Why is it good? When can we get results?
So yeah, sprinting, being called the sprinting doctor because I'm so big on sprinting. So let me just show you. So in case you have any doubt about whether you want to sprint, I'll show you what happened to this individual who started sprinting before and after. So this is the power of the MRI allows us to track this difference. So in this particular image on the right up here, this guy is filled with visceral fat, all that white stuff inside of him. He's a CEO of a company, and he was running 15 miles a week, 10 miles a day, 5 days a week. So he said, stop running, because distance running, distance exercise, chronic exercise actually produces visceral fat and makes it more tenacious. So even if you eliminate carbohydrates, it makes it harder to get rid of that visceral fat. So we have all our people stop, and then we have them substitute in sprinting. This guy was doing all of the interventions. He cut out carbohydrates, and he still had all this visceral fat. And we said, are you running? And he said, yeah, I'm still running. I'm like, stop it and start sprinting. And then look at the dramatic change in him. And it was less than 2 months. So this guy eliminates almost all his visceral fat in less than 2 months, and he gets a six-pack just by sprinting. So sprinting is fantastically optimizing. How much? The very best form of exercise a human being can do is sprinting. Nothing is harder in a shorter period of time. You go out and you do a max effort sprint for 30 seconds, you will see how tired and exhausting it is. You go lift weights for 30 seconds, you're not going to be that tired. But when you sprint, all your muscles are used. You create a huge oxygen debt. You create all this carbon dioxide buildup, dropping your pH. It's the maximal physiological challenge you can do in a human being in the shortest period of time is sprinting. But that's me. That's why you get the greatest benefit. So how do you do it, to your question? All right. First answer is there are no strict rules and there's no set formula. Nature, life would introduce sprinting to us to get us away from a bear. Another human being is trying to kill us, to catch a deer or something we're trying to eat, you know, something that we had to be able to achieve. So circumstances would create the need to sprint. And sometimes they were short, sometimes they were long. So what does that mean? I tell my clients sometimes sprint as short as maybe 3 to 5 seconds. That's like nothing. But sometimes that's all you needed to do, get out of the way of something, you know, clear something that was after you. And sometimes you'd have to sprint longer, like 30 seconds, a longer sprint. And maybe, let's face it, maybe sometimes that thing is after you for a long time and you got to do like a minute or two. And it's usually, they get it, you know, you get away or it catches you. And typically that's about as long as you sprint. So I don't have my clients ever sprint longer than a minute. And most of the time their sweet spot, I tell them, is to hang out between right around 12 to maybe 15 seconds is the sweet spot generally where you want to have most of your sprints, but mix it up 3 to 20 seconds and then do maybe one a day, maybe not do any sprinting for 2 days, and then maybe do 6 to 10 one day. So you want variety. Variety optimizes the human being, not sets and reps and numbers and, you know, a 90-minute workout in your gym. You want to mix it up.
So I'm thinking of my audience, who, by the way, is mostly carnivore. So when you said the vegetarian vegan, I was like, that would be so funny if I had a vegan or a vegetarian watching this channel, because it's keto, carnivore, it's zero to very, very low carb. So you guys are on it, you know the diet. But the thing is, I'm thinking of people that are carnivore, they're keto, and they want to do some sprinting and they're overweight. they are obese. They're probably thinking, hang on, is it safe for me to do that?
Yeah. So my professional credentials are MD-JD. So I'm an attorney. So before engaging in sprinting activity, you should discuss your health situation with your physician. Okay. So go and let them assess your, I have no idea what condition you are. Maybe you have stress fractures, or maybe you have a fracture, maybe you have a torn meniscus in your knee and you should not be sprinting. So go and find out what your condition is and able to sprint. But if you are overweight, that in and of itself is not a reason not to sprint. You know, it's time to sprint. And so if you have a contraindication, a true contraindication, you cannot sprint, you can consider a variety of other ways. So I tell people, sprint, swim. Get into a pool and just swim as fast as you can. It's not a complete replacement. It's not a perfect replacement because nothing replaces perfection. The highest level, best form of exercise is sprinting. But it comes fairly close enough to say, go do it if you can't sprint. And maybe, you know, you can also sprint run in a pool, go in four feet of water, 5 feet, 3 feet, play around with it, and sprint in that water. You won't have as much joint impact, and yet you'll get resistance. And that's a good form to do that. And also a stationary bike, dialing up against resistance and sprinting against resistance on a stationary bike. But eventually, most people will optimize their health good enough to get back to conventional sprinting. And when you do, you don't have to do a 20-second sprint the first time. You can just do a 3-second sprint. But let me give you a public service announcement. People are tearing their muscles, straining their muscles right and left, jumping into sprinting. And the reason is you're filled with visceral fat, and your muscles and your tendons have fallen apart, and you have no idea. There's so much schmutz in that pipe and the disease process in your muscles that when you go and accelerate thinking you're at the Olympics and you're going to just rip one out there, you end up ripping your muscles. And so what you can do to avoid that from happening is slowly accelerate. Every injury I have heard so far on followers on the internet, people, you know, reporting strains from sprinting, is in the acceleration phase. They simply accelerate too much. And they can't pick up that they're injuring, you know, that nature tries to warn you, it's starting to hurt, it feels a little awkward, though, back down, okay? You're too diseased, you can't handle it. But I will say this, don't let that moment go and say, well, I'm just too diseased. No, I want you to think about this. That means you would be dead 50,000 years ago. One, you never would have been able to hunt and catch prey. And two, predator would have caught you and you'd have been prey for something else. So reflect on that. How high the mighty have fallen. You're filled with chronic disease and you just didn't know it. But if you get an injury while you're sprinting, it's because you've allowed yourself to fall apart. You've accumulated all that visceral fat. So slowly accelerate. And by the way, it can be really serious. Like Kevin Hart, he just recently tore his abdomen. I presume that was a hernia that he had, and a bad one, and he can't even walk. He's, you know, driving around with a wheelchair in his car, and he is really upset about it because, you know, the significant injury that he got. So you want to be very cautious about sprinting, starting slow, and work on getting yourself as healthy as possible. So if you're obese, you know, get control of your diet. You maybe do some sprint swimming and some stationary cycles. Get your physiology improved, work yourself up to be able to sprint.
What would you say to people that say, I want to do endurance running, long distance running, because I want to burn more calories? A 3-second sprint, that doesn't burn any calories. How am I going to lose belly fat?
Yeah. So nothing burns more fat and nothing puts on more muscle than sprinting. In a study where they looked at the 10 most popular forms of exercise, and producing myokines and LACFI, these messaging molecules that say, one, burn fat and build muscle, not just in the muscles you're engaged in, but all over your body, these messaging molecules go to. The number one form of exercise at the top of the list, sprinting. Second one down, resistance training, lifting weights. at the very bottom, run, job. The poorest producer of molecules to message burning fat and build muscle. Now, does it come as any surprise that after people, you know, have been running for decades, they're scrawny, they have no muscle growth, they have the opposite, they have atrophied muscles? No, that's what happens. Here's something to ponder if you haven't thought about this. Go to the internet, jump on Google, and Google 100 meter sprint world champion sprinter. Look at their bodies. And then Google world champion marathoners and look at their bodies. And then ask yourself, which body looks more healthy? And if that's still not good enough for you, look at the classics, the masters. Look at people that are 100 years old, that are marathoners, or 100 years old or 90 years old that are sprinters, and see which body you want. And look at their lifestyle. So sprinting, there's no doubt about it, way more optimizing for your health, your body, burning fat than anything else. In fact, if you want to look at fat burning, take a look at this interesting MRI scan here. So this guy is the lowest fat I've ever seen. I mean, he's got, like, there's no white in there. It's all dark. You know, talk about muscle building. He's all muscle. Look at that. And this guy is just the opposite. He's all white. He's all fat up there. His muscles are like nothing. These little core, that muscle right there. Look at this guy's. Literally wall to wall. What does this guy do? Sprinter. Olympic sprinter. If you could see inside your body, it would tell the story how you lived your life, either good or bad. And so that's just it. This is the single healthiest abdomen I've ever seen and the single healthiest human being I ever physically examined. And that's what that guy looked like right here, this picture. Look at those massive muscles. He didn't get that lifting weights. He didn't lift weights in high school. He only sprinted. And you're right now, oh, come on. Well, I was the same way. I was the doctor. When this guy told me he didn't lift, that's what I said, oh, come on. I like rolled my eyes. So what did I do? Well, before I went to medical school, I was a police officer and a detective, an investigator. So I went and I investigated this. I checked out this dude in his high school. I talked to all his friends. They corroborated. Dude did not go in the weight room, did not lift weights. He was only a sprinter. So yeah, you will build muscle like crazy if you sprint, and you'll burn fat like crazy. The MRI, it doesn't lie. This guy got this way from sprinting, and you're not. And let's just look at, you know, in case there's any news. Well, I run and I don't have any. Well, I showed you the guy that was filled with visceral fat, who cut it out, and went sprinting. Let's look at a marathoner. Okay, this guy comes in, gets scanned. He's only 34 years old. He's got none of the good stuff. And he's filled inside with visceral fat. He's only 34. And he was doing, he just didn't run enough. I do 5 marathons a year. This guy, 10 a year, filled with visceral fat. So it wasn't a lack of running. This guy did a lot. But let's look at what else he had. In his lung fields, right between his lung fields, this structure right here. You know what that is? Your heart. Look at all that fat surrounding his, inflammatory fat surrounding his heart. Huge amount of fat. And so when he saw this and he saw what was inside of him, guess what he did? He did what I couldn't do. I was a distance runner. You couldn't get me to stop. I was doing that. I was doing 75 to 90 minutes a day. Every single day I would run. I was addicted to it. I couldn't stop. But when I showed this guy his scans, he did what I couldn't do because I didn't know what was inside of me. He saw that and he quit running instantly and he became a sprinter. And he walked over, he said, I am going to be your most motivated client. And he got rid of all his visceral fat, and 50% of it was gone in 3 months by doing sprinting. So yeah, you don't want to do distance running. We saw it in 6,000 people across the board, number of distance runners. And the ones, the more distance running you did, the more visceral fat we saw in you. And the more you eliminated distance running, the more resolution. And the more you added in sprinting, the more resolution as well. So sprint, don't run.
So it's important to say, because you just mentioned, that's visceral fat around your heart. So visceral fat is fat around the organ. So you have to think of kidneys, liver, heart, any place that you have an organ or something that's fat around it. And that's how you're saying it causes disease. Because I think, you know, people think, oh, why am I getting, or that person getting heart disease or stroke, et cetera, et cetera, because of that fat around it. This is all inflammation. So I just wanted to point that out. I thought that that was interesting.
Yeah. So this fat gets deposited throughout the body. And I mentioned the fat that goes into the muscles and the abdomen. But let's show some examples of muscles that people probably think of more of instead of abdominal musculature, even though, you know, I talked about the core. Let's look at the relationship between visceral fat and fat in your legs, okay? So we'll start with this guy with huge amount of visceral fat. The more visceral fat you have, the more fat goes into your muscles. That's called human marbling. You see that white streak in there? All those white streaks are from fatty deposition called myosteatosis. So that's infiltrating fat in your musculature. Does that sound like a good idea? You want to have a lot of fats just going filling your muscle? No. Think about you when you're 80 and 90 years old and those muscles are so weak. It's because you've allowed that to happen. But look at the Olympic sprinter. This visceral fat was that little tiny bit of white right there. And look how beautiful his muscles are. No fat there and no fat in his leg muscles. So your skeletal muscle becomes violated, infiltrated with these terrible inflammatory fat, which AI just recently found. If you have myosteatosis, AI shows that as bad as it is to be obese, and your lifespan is not long if you're obese. I mean, you get also cancers and heart attacks. I mean, you see all those people, the more obese they are, the earlier they die. You know, those poor, my 600-pound life, you know, you're always reading about these people dying in the 30s and 40s. So, you know, not many of them make it. You don't see an obese 80-year-old because they get knocked off in their 50s. So obesity is really bad. But do you know what's double the risk of death than obesity? This stuff right here. And you can have it when you're thin. If you have a small abdomen and you walk around, I'm a runner and I don't have any fat, you can have that visceral fat. I call it invisible obesity inside you and you don't know it. And it's in your leg muscles too. So that's why you got to do these MRIs to take a look and see what's going on. So, that's really important study, and you can see it also in the forms of older people. So look at their legs. This is a 74-year-old and 40-year-old, and this is a 74-year-old. Look at the difference. Which leg do you think you want? You want the 74-year-old with the big muscles and no fat in there? Or do you want to be this one here with the muscles fragmenting, falling apart, shrinking, filled with fat all around it? Well, that's not compelling enough. Let me point something else to you. These are the bones right here. See the black? That is the bone. That's the bone and cortex. Well, fat shows up as white. Why is there fat in the bone marrow? It's a bone marrow. But look how thick this bone is, okay? And let's look at this person who's 40 years old. They've got thick bones too. But how about this person here? Uh-oh. Look at that. Look how thin that bone is. Thin bone. That sounds like a fracture. 80 old people fracture their legs. Yep. It's because visceral fat was ignored. They got myosteatosis. They had chronic disease. And they have osteopenia, osteoporosis. And they lose that and have fractures. And oh, by the way, you don't think that's a problem? Well, your mortality rate, in other words, how likely it is you're going to be dead when you fracture this bone here? Well, at the age of 85, and older, if you fracture that femur, your mortality is 95% in 1 year of event of fracture now. Because it's not so much broken, like, and I like to make this point. I could take this 74-year-old, let's just pretend they're 85, and I could snap that bone in half. They're not going to be dead. You know why? Look how healthy their muscles are. They won't have visceral fat. They won't have declining blood flow all over their body. But this one will. And you know what it allows doctors to do? It allows doctors to do this. You're 85, you fractured your leg. We're not going to repair it. Unless you could stand up from a chair without assistance. But if you needed assistance to get up, we're just calling hospice. Why? They're not being mean. Because it just doesn't matter if they repair it. You're going to die anyhow. It's not going to work. So they do nothing but call hospice. Oh, yeah. That's where we're heading in our healthcare system. So if you're listening today, you better get on the ball and get rid of your visceral fat and get rid of this. Do you think, how many times have you probably, maybe you're listening, had an MRI or CT? Anybody tell you about that fat in your legs or your abdominal muscles, your visceral fat? No. They're ignoring it. Well, you're falling apart. But they're doing their level best to find something that they could do a CPT code on and make some money. There's no code for myosteatosis. There's no code for visceral fat because there's no money. There's no treatment they can do to get rid of it. But it's all lifestyle. So that's the big problem. They ignore what really works. They tell you about what they can make money about. So if you're listening today, hopefully you're getting educated.
Let's talk about one of the biggest lifestyle factors that we can change, along with the sprinting and the exercise, is diet. You hinted about it before. Let's go into a bit of a detail what people should be eating to lower their belly fat and their visceral fat.
Okay, so that's a really good question. So the first thing you want to do to have the greatest influence on your visceral fat is revealed in these scans here. So I'm just going to back this up a tiny bit and allow this to be seen a little bit better. So hopefully this comes into view. And you can see in this scan here, there's a lot of redness in here. And I'll just tip it for this comparison. Now, this scan is repeated in this 68-year-old in 2 weeks. Now, nobody's probably listening as a doctor. Nobody is radiologist. But you don't have to. You've already determined. Your eyes have already said that this red is bigger than this red. And in 2 weeks, this person reduced it that much. And then take a look after the full series, 35 weeks later, boy, that shape has changed now. Instead of being a blob, where they look like a barrel, now they sort of look like a college swimmer. The interesting thing is, never did any swim. They didn't do any sports. They didn't exercise 1 minute. Well, what the heck did they do to reduce their visceral fat that much? And not only did they reduce their visceral fat, but I told you about muscle fat. So see the red in the muscle there? Big streak of red. And now, in this image down here, you see none of that big streak. Because visceral fat, as I showed you before, causes that muscle fat infiltration at the same time. So they got rid of fat in their muscle, they got rid of their visceral fat, they didn't exercise 1 minute. What the heck did they do? Quick, tell me. They cut out carbohydrates. They cut out processed foods, and they ate meat and vegetables. They ate clean. So the first thing you got to do is stop eating garbage processed food, highly palatable, tasty food. Eat meat and vegetables. Now, I'm a carnivore doctor. I recommend just eating meat. It's what I've seen eliminates this stuff even faster than eating meat and vegetables. But I got to be honest with you, because I don't want you to think if you're out there and you just fall in love with your vegetables, you can't give them up, that you're not going to listen to me. You will. You look at this guy. He did get rid of it. Now, I think he would have been with a lot less of that had he given up all his vegetables. But you know, hey, that is something to apply and be realist, you know, really happy about. So first rule is cut out those processed foods, cut out carbohydrates, eat meat. And if you're going to eat vegetables, eat, you know, vegetables in complex, clean form. So you're not eating a highly palatable processed vegetables like rice and things.
Absolutely. And the last few points to get rid of your belly fat and visceral fat is sauna, fasting. Was there some light therapy or something that I read about?
Well, sunshine, I think what you get
sunshine.
So what happened?
And that's free.
So yeah, you know, and sauna is really cheap. I mean, you can get a gym. I don't have any financial, you know, interest in LA Fitness or YMCA, but those places have dry finish saunas that you can go into for about, you know, $30 a month. You get a membership and go in there and do that. I mean, it's worth it just to do the sauna. And so, you know, why does a sauna, why does sunshine, and why is fasting beneficial? Well, first of all, immediately beneficial, you get rid of visceral fat, you develop visible pulses. Remember, the arteries opening up. So the pulses become visible. Well, if you go outside in the sun, I call it my human dashboard, is what happens is my spider veins, my visible pulses, and my skin turner, which we didn't talk, how fast your skin snaps back. The faster it goes back, the healthier you are. But did you know you could immediately improve that going out into sunshine? Immediately improve that in your visible pulses and your spider veins going into a sauna? You can immediately improve that if you skin turner, visible pulses in your spider veins, if you fast. So take photographs before and after and see the difference. In many cases, it's minutes. They don't tell you that. They want you to come back months later and look at your cholesterol panel. Nope. You need the feedback immediately. The optimizing human being looks at the delta before and after. Here's where it's happening live. Gym with young people. Guys and girls lifting weights, flexing, okay? They see the pump. It reinforces them going back the next day to lift weights. Well, you need that reinforcement to go out in the sunshine because you're terrified of it probably now because the doctors think you're going to get cancer. You know, if you go out in the sunshine and nobody's telling you about a sauna, nobody's telling you about sprinting except for me and now Rena and, you know, fasting. So if you track and you connect visually that you're improving when you do those four things, you're going to do them more often and you're going to feel good about it and will reinforce it because it can be a little hard to go into a 185-degree sauna, and it can be hard to sprint initially, but you're only doing it briefly, and it can be hard to fast. Sunshine is not too hard, but some people, you know, let's face it, don't really like to go out in the sun, at least initially, but those things become easier, and pretty soon you start craving it. Sean, I go out those things all the time. I'm fasting right now. I'm at 72 hours. And I love it. And I actually don't really want to eat again because I feel so good when I fast. I get a lot more better blood flow. I have a lot more energy. I perform my best in a fasted state.
Absolutely. How long do you think this protocol, because we're talking about some exercise, sauna, fasting doesn't really take time. It actually gives you time back. Plus a carnivore-ish diet. How many minutes is that of active work per week for somebody that's busy?
Yeah. It's not much. I actually exercise probably about 10 minutes, maybe every other day, you know, not much. And yet take a look at, you know, my body. So you have an idea, you know, like, well, because I got my this photograph I could show you what kind of difference it actually makes when you do these things. So here I am for the past 5 years. Let me blow this up a little bit so you can see a little bit better. So this is me. Turn down the veteran. This is me, 55, age 59. Look at the muscle growth from barely working out. So it doesn't take a lot of time. Yeah, I do 30 minutes in a sauna today, but I'm efficient in there. I take working with me. I do emails and knockout stuff. So, you know, I would otherwise be at my desk to knock that out. And so I save my executive clients come to me. They're so grateful because they, Sean, you saved me a lot of time because I was going to the gym for like 30, 45 minutes a day, wasting a lot of time. Now I can cut it down to 5 or 10 minutes. And so a significant amount of time. And I say, 30, 45 minutes. Some of you go in there for an hour and a half. Let's be honest, you're wasting a lot of time. So you need to get on this protocol and learn about exercise in a more efficient manner, much more intensely, much shorter period of time, and you don't have to do as frequently. So it saves a lot of time.
And lastly, what about women? Have you got a photo of a woman doing the protocol that you're talking about and seeing her results?
I don't. Women are kind of funny. They don't like to share their photographs, but I will specifically ask some of my female clients if they'll give me before and after photographs. But yeah, a lot of them are kind of reticent. It's that first photograph, but they don't like it.
But it's important to note that it works for men and for women. So even though you're showing, so women out there watching, gotta do this protocol.
None of this stuff. You think women escaped ancestrally? No. I don't like what's going on. I hear about, women are different. And, we were women hunted with men. They were badasses. They birthed kids, but, they were tough. This parasol toting kind of, pretty dress, that's nonsense. That's all crap that's developed late in life. You were part of the same species, female lions and females and grizzlies are tough as nails. You don't want to mess around with those, And why now we baby women are thinking, you can't fast, you can't, we're going to disrupt our thyroids and our adrenals. And we just need to eat our muffins. Nonsense. Get tough, be like the guys, and you'll improve. My best clients are actually, I think my very best clients are female. So, that nonsense about you got to take a softer approach. No. Get rid of your visceral fat. Your thyroid will get better. Your adrenal will get better. And you'll be able to tolerate that fasting a lot more.
Wonderful. Well, how can people find more of you and learn more about your content and information?
Yeah. So I'm on Twitter or X. I'm on Instagram. I'm on YouTube. And I'm on LinkedIn, all on the same handle, at DrSeanOmara. That's how you can find me. And I'm also on a website. If you're interested in getting rid of your visceral fat, the fastest and the best in the world at it, and you're motivated, I can't even open my messages. But if I can hear from you and I discern or somebody else reads it, that you're really motivated, you want to come and work with me to improve your appearance, improve your performance, improve your health in the shortest period of time, then you can check me out on my website. It's just DrSeanOmara.com. Read my website on plans and pricing and how I work with clients. Hit a contact form and we'll be glad to consider bringing in our practice.
Well, I'm going to leave all of those links in the show notes. So if people want to contact Sean, Dr. Omara, you can do that. Just go click show more in the description. All of these links are going to be there. I just want to say a big thank you. This is incredible information for people to really understand visceral fat. It's belly fat, and reduce it and save their lives. So a big thank you. And I'm sure we're going to see you very soon.
All right. Well, thank you, Rena, for reaching out to me and giving me the opportunity to share this with your followers. I love your content. Keep crushing it and doing great things out there.
I hope you enjoyed this video. Now you need to watch this video by Professor Seafried talking about the worst food that feeds cancer cells. I'll see you guys next week.